Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, what is going on with Joe Biden? He's not going to Milwaukee. He's doing bizarre things to reporters, asking them if they've passed cocaine tests. We have the analysis and the instant response, and also some positive Chinese coronavirus news. Before we get started, please consider supporting our program as a monthly supporter. $10, $50, $100 at charliekirk.com/support. That is charliekirk.com/support. Chip in some money if you can at charliekirk.com/support. Email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and give us a 5-star review. Joe Biden is on the ropes. We have the analysis. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Despite being in his basement, Joe Biden is still making a lot of news. Right at the recording of this podcast, Joe Biden decided to be the number one news story of the day. Joe Biden, in his bunker, was doing an interview with a reporter. This reporter was doing his job. He asked a responsible and reasonable question when he asked, this reporter was from CBS News, Errol Barnett. He asked a question of Joe Biden, and he said, have you taken a cognitive test? And Joe Biden responded in a way that, for those of you that have dealt with people that have had issues with mental cognitive decline, this is how, unfortunately, those situations typically unfold. They get very defensive, they get very angry, and they say outrageous things. Let's play the tape for you, just to kind of set the stage. Play tape.
Please clarify, specifically, have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates.
So Joe Biden, just basically, there's a couple thoughts on this. First of all, this reporter is black. Now, I'm not necessarily going to say that Joe Biden is looking deeper into racism here, but by the standard that they have made Donald Trump live under, I'm going to say that Joe Biden is a racist for saying this. If the new standard is that you can't even say certain things to certain people of color, so if Donald Trump, for example, was asked by Lester Holt from NBC News or Errol Barnett from CBS News, Mr. President, have you taken a cognitive test? Have you taken a cocaine test? Could you imagine how the outrage from the chattering class and the prognosticators and the pundits would be? And what's so incredible about this is Joe Biden, first and foremost, has to look within his own family. Hunter Biden is well known for abusing cocaine, substance abuse, for not necessarily making faithful decisions when it comes to women. Joe Biden recently became a grandfather because of a paternity test that came up for one of Hunter Biden's lovers in Arkansas. Anyway, Hunter Biden's not running for president. But when Joe Biden starts to accuse other people, or at least make a joke, or however you want to say it, saying, are you on cocaine? Look, I've dealt with people that have had early onsets of Alzheimer's and dementia. For those of you listening to this program, if you've dealt with that scenario, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those individuals that have those symptoms and are struggling with Alzheimer's and dementia, they get more and more defensive, more and more outrageous. Is Joe Biden really equipped to be president of the United States? He will not sit down in a feature interview. He will not sit down with someone face-to-face like Donald Trump has and be able to go back and forth. And when he does take questions from people like Errol Barnett, all of a sudden it becomes this outrageous news item when he explains his refusal to take a mental test. Now, his refusal to take the mental test is very simply explained. He can't pass the mental test. He can't. And there's a deeper point here that is very important, which is, how does this get better for Joe Biden? You see, the American people are not stupid. I think that the American people are gullible at times, such as the American people's support of BLM Inc., but we're actually course-correcting that. BLM Inc. is actually going down in popularity and favorability, something that I'm very pleased to see. I don't think the American people are dumb. I don't. Some people do. I actually think that the American people are going to demand uninterrupted dialogue from their candidates before they go vote. I don't think that they're going to want CNN to continue to carry water for them. So CNN came out and they said, oh, Joe Biden clarified this comment. I mean, that's just outrageous. It's not true at all. This, of course, comes after Joe Biden's very famous quote, which actually, very interestingly, people forgot in the midst of all the George Floyd BLM Inc. riots, when Joe Biden said, if anyone who is black that doesn't vote for him, anyone who doesn't vote for him that is black is actually not black. Play tape.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
You ain't black, was what he said. Can you imagine a president like this? And so they like to say that Donald Trump is losing his mind. It's not true. It's not even close to being true. Donald Trump has passed his cognitive test. Donald Trump does these long, very combative interviews with Jonathan Swan from Axios or from Chris Wallace from Fox News. Joe Biden, on the other hand, can't even hold a conversation remotely with a friendly reporter from CBS News, Errol Barnett. And I have to give Errol Barnett credit. I've never heard of him before. I don't really make a habit out of watching CBS News. But this is not a question that is within the approved dogma of the Democrat media establishment. Now, Errol Barnett is probably getting threatened and probably getting repudiated for asking such a question out of Joe Biden. Or there might be more to the story here. There might be something that we're missing. Now, I don't want to get too deep into uncharted waters and start conjecturing things that I do not have specific evidence for. But let's go there a little bit because it's kind of an interesting place. What if Errol Barnett and what if the media, what if they're actually trying to see if there's a way that Joe Biden shouldn't be the nominee? Now, again, this is a little bit of in an area that I don't think it's actually going to happen. But there's a lot of chatter about this where people are saying Joe Biden is not going to actually accept the nomination in Milwaukee. Now, I thought this was all nonsense. I thought this was all baseless until another news story came out simultaneously as Joe Biden asking reporters if they're on cocaine, black reporters if they're on cocaine. This other very puzzling news item surfaced, which was this. Washington Post, Joe Biden will not travel to Milwaukee to accept the Democratic presidential nomination because of coronavirus concerns. So my initial reaction to this was not because of coronavirus concerns. It was instead, they want to do a pre-taped and edited acceptance speech that Joe Biden can give from his bunker. And if he makes a mistake or he does something dumb, they can edit it out. See, if he travels to Milwaukee the day before or the day of, there's too many eyeballs. Reporters will see what he's wearing. They will see exactly when he takes the stage. It will be completely live and it will be impossible to edit out on national television, things that he says that are outlandish, things that make you cringe, things that, quite honestly, any nominee for president says, you're not going to want to vote for them. And so that was my first reaction. But what if you connect these two stories? And look, the great Rush Limbaugh kind of is the master of this. The great Rush Limbaugh immediately always wonders why certain media individuals ask tough questions when they ask tough questions of Democrats. And I think it's actually a very helpful rule of thumb. I think it's very helpful to ask ourselves, why is it that Errol Barnett from CBS News, which is a wing of the Democrat Party, why would he ask Joe Biden if he's taking a mental cognitive test? Of course it's a responsible and reasonable question, which even further begs the question, why would someone from CBS News ask that? They have not asked a reasonable or responsible question in the last 4 years. And so there's two explanations. Number one, Errol Barnett is actually a good reporter. I can't comment on that. He did a good job here. I'm going to compliment him on that. That's one potential explanation. The second explanation is that there might actually be an effort to replace Joe Biden as the nominee. Now, I don't have any other evidence for that except for the fact he's not going to Milwaukee, except for the fact that now you have a media individual that is pressing him directly about his mental cognitive ability. Those are some pretty interesting pieces of evidence, I would say. Now, look, Joe Biden and his team, actually, let me correct that. Just his team. Joe Biden can't wait to see who he selects for vice president. He's eagerly waiting to see who he selects. Joe Biden's team is growing increasingly nervous. How could you not? If you're in charge of electing a president of the United States from a campaign side, and you can't put him on an interview with a friendly reporter like Errol Barnett from CBS News, which, by the way, that would be the equivalent of President Trump sitting down with the Daily Caller or Breitbart.com. That is how home team CBS News is for the Democrat Party. It just is. Now, I actually think CBS News probably does a better job than the Huffington Post or CNN, but it's all part of the media establishment, the activist media establishment. And so if you're Joe Biden's communications director, or if you're Simone Sanders that works for Joe Biden's campaign, what are you supposed to make of this? At some point, the American people eventually are going to say, hold on a second. I want to hear more about this person that's about to be in charge of the nuclear codes. Say whatever you want about Donald Trump. You can say all these things that I will push back against and that I don't agree with. But the one thing you cannot say about Donald Trump is that he is inaccessible. He does the longest interviews, more speeches, more phone calls, more meetings than any other president in my lifetime and maybe in American history. I think that's a great contrast of Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. Now, some people are conjecturing and they're saying, well, Joe Biden is afraid that he'll get the Chinese coronavirus and pass away. I don't buy that at all. I don't. I think Americans want someone who's willing to go straight into the fire right now. I think Americans want someone to be a leader in this time of national crisis. And what's also very interesting is I thought Joe Biden is able to have top-line security, instant testing for the Chinese coronavirus. He could fly private easily to Milwaukee. What coronavirus concerns are you citing exactly? You could easily get off your plane, get into a chauffeured car, go into a separate sterile entrance. Everyone will be wearing hazmat suits, and you'll be able to deliver your speech. That's not the case. We know that's not the case. There's more to the story here. The first, I think, an obvious takeaway is if Joe Biden will be the nominee, they want to be able to edit, to fix any issues or any blunders that Biden says. This is all actually very good news for Donald Trump. All of this should come as welcome news for the president and his campaign. At least the president's campaign, despite how some of the polls are not favorable, some are very favorable, by the way. Donald Trump has really tightened this race, largely because more and more people are going to see that Joe Biden does not have the mental capacity to be president of the United States. Now, if the Democrat Party decides to upend and put in a new nominee, that will be beyond unprecedented, but I actually think it makes sense for them. Now, they have to do that very soon because ballots are going to start to go out in mid to late September in certain states. Do I think it's likely? I do not. I think that Biden is the safe pick, but he's increasingly becoming the erratic pick. He's increasingly becoming the uncertain pick where, see, the whole idea around Joe Biden is that, sure, he'll say a couple gaffes, but he'll be able to win people over through very simple advertising, easy interviews, and waltz to the presidency. That is the thesis behind the Biden campaign. But if he can't even do an interview with CBS News, That should be a red alert for everyone around Joe Biden. And I think President Trump knows this. I think President Trump is going to surge the more that this video gets out. I mean, this video is so outrageous. We played the tape for you. When it almost makes you feel a sense of compassion for Joe Biden. It almost makes you feel like, man, he needs help. Well, I agree, by the way. I don't think people that need help should then become president of the United States. And this leads to another point. Do you notice lately how all these trial balloons have been launched around trying to give Joe Biden a backing and a defense to not debate Donald Trump? I think it is increasingly unlikely that Joe Biden will debate Donald Trump. I think Joe Biden's team, seeing this interview, knows that a debate could actually make sure that Donald Trump wins 40 states. And so Joe Biden and his entire team, they're starting to prepare the population of our country for the fact that he might not actually debate, for the fact that he might actually try and dodge a direct dialogue with the president of the United States, President Trump. So keep a close eye on Joe Biden. Who knows if he'll actually accept the nomination in Milwaukee? Who knows who he'll select as vice president and maybe just hand it over to that person and say, it's all yours now, kiddo. I think there's more to the story here with Joe Biden. And he says it's all about the Chinese coronavirus. But I actually want to share some good news that is happening with the virus. That's right, some good news when it comes to the virus. There are five things that I'm hopeful with when it comes to the Chinese coronavirus. This was an article that I found on humanprogress.org. I encourage you to check out humanprogress.org. They do a great job. Number one, therapeutics are better than ever. We now know how to treat sick patients much better, exponentially better, than we did in April or in March. For example, lying people on their stomach works. We know ventilators are actually less helpful than we originally thought. And if you're in a place anywhere other than America, hydroxychloroquine can keep you healthy and actually can work as a prophylactic and as a preventative. In countries that actually use hydroxychloroquine, they are seeing their death rates, their hospitalization rates, and their case rates all go down. All three categories go down. Number two, I'm a little bit skeptical on this, but in certain areas, if you think a vaccine is going to help you, I'm skeptical. They are showing promising early results. Every early trial is showing that it is increasing T-cell response, which is particularly important for the elderly. Now, mind you, even if the vaccine is nothing more than a placebo, I actually think that is a good thing. If it's a placebo for certain people to be able to live their life again and to be able to go back to work, then fine, so be it. And we're going to have more news on vaccines and the Chinese coronavirus on that in upcoming episodes. Number three, Oxford University's epidemiologist, Sunetra Gupta, has argued herd immunity may be achieved more easily than we first thought. Indeed, from the way that infections have continued to dwindle despite lessening social distancing, half the population could actually be immune because of recent exposure to the coronavirus colds. And children seem to be totally resistant from catching the Chinese coronavirus and also passing it on. You see, early on, we were told that children will become virus reactors, that children might not die from it, but they're going to spread it to other people. There is no evidence of child-to-adult transfer of the Chinese coronavirus, not one evidence or piece of example that it has ever happened. That's why we have to open our schools. So the no evidence of secondary transmission of COVID-19 from children was a study that was done in May, where Ireland did a study after their school year, and they found zero pieces of evidence of secondary transmission from children to adults. This is ncbi.nlm.nih.gov. So thankfully, even Czar Fauci, or Pope Fauci, has finally issued some positive statements on this. Still, he's way too cautious, but we'll take positive movement from this guy at any point. There are two big reasons schools should go back into in-person learning, Fauci said on Monday. Students need the psychological and nutritional benefits of being in school, and parents may have to, quote, dramatically modify their work schedule. quote, the primary consideration should always be the safety, the health of the welfare of the children, as well as the teachers and the secondary effects of spreading to parents and other family members. On college campuses, Fauci said testing will be the key to reopening. If done properly, it would not be a risk. But then again, you've got to be careful when you get people coming in from the outside. But I think if they maintain the guidelines that they put together for people coming back, they should be fine. Way too cautious, like I said, but movement nonetheless. Now, we now know a lot about asymptomatic transmission. Dr. Maria Van Kerkhove, the WHO or the WHO's technical lead for the Chinese coronavirus, has explained that data from countries which have carried out detailed tracking and follow-up of cases showed there was little evidence of true asymptomatic spread. This is terrific news. See, the whole idea around the lockdown was that you may not know you have it, and since you do not know you have it, you could spread it. But now we know that asymptomatic individuals are actually not able to spread the virus, or they're able to spread it with very little efficacy, and there's little evidence to support it. Let's just be very specific. Reason number five, why we're optimistic. We have a better capacity to test, track, and isolate cases. It is likely that the hospital-acquired and elderly care facilities spread in the spring will not be repeated. Thank you, Andrew Cuomo, for killing thousands of our elderly people in the state of New York. Healthcare and care home staff were not properly protected earlier in this disease, and too many people, including the sick, were allowed to go from site to site. Many were infected and became carriers. We now have enough personal protection equipment. Thank you, Jared Kushner and the White House, for delivering that. They get no credit for that. And in fact, as of a month ago, nearly half of the deaths from the Chinese coronavirus are linked to elderly nursing homes. And in California, the nation's largest state, there is more reason to be optimistic. The Associated Press reported this. The average weekly number of positive tests is down by a fifth to 7,764 from its peak of nearly 9,900 a week ago. Hospitalizations, which had recently ballooned by 50%, have also fallen steadily over the last 14 days. And what is the cause? Hard to say. But an article recently published in the San Francisco Chronicle reported that the Bay Area, the San Francisco-Oakland area, recently saw a spike in cases, quote, despite doing everything by the book. Now remember, the Bay Area was one of the first to fully lock down and implement policies like mandatory masks, no church, closing small businesses, and keeping marijuana shops open. Nevertheless, the data shows that overall, California seems to be bouncing back. And across the Sun Belt, the same is shaping up to be true. As of Sunday, cases in Texas have fallen more than 8% over the previous week, hitting roughly 7,723 daily new cases based on a 7-day moving average. Meanwhile, Florida reported a 14% drop in its 7-day average of new COVID-19 or Chinese coronavirus cases Sunday, and Arizona reported a more than 10% drop. Now, we're not really sure the reason for this. Some will say it's because of the lockdowns. I would conjecture, and other scientists would agree with this, that it's because of herd immunity, we can better treat it, and eventually you're going to hit what is called Farr's Law, AIDS, and every other epidemic and pandemic follow this principle, where no more than 20% of your population will be severely impacted by a specific virus. The virus will mutate, human beings have a capacity to fight it, and next thing you know, the population is actually more likely to survive than at the beginning of the pandemic. And while no one is in a place to declare total victory over the virus, it's cautious optimism that should lead states to reopen fully and avoid killing more jobs and permanently stifling the U.S. economy. As we've covered on this show many times before, multiple times actually, the lockdowns have had unbelievably horrific effects on businesses. For example, in a new study just released by the New York Times, over one-third of small businesses in New York are likely gone forever. And in Texas, who only recently underwent a dramatic lockdown measure, at least 12% of all restaurants are closed forever, according to data compiled by the Texas Tribune. And more good news from the Sun Belt. Officials in Florida say cases of the coronavirus are continuing to decline, and they are considering a plan to open nursing homes for family member visits. So let's close on this note. Remind those people in your life that are lockdown zealots claiming that they save lives. Well, here's what the New York Times said. We are going to have 1.4 million additional deaths from TB or tuberculosis, 500,000 additional deaths from HIV, and 385,000 additional deaths from malaria. And we're just seeing the beginning. After several direct statements, the World Health Organization now appears to be a lockdown skeptic. We at the World Health Organization would invite countries to do everything possible to not have these complete lockdowns. We think the Swedish approach has a lot going for it. Can you believe that? The World Health Organization is now praising Sweden after Sweden was ridiculed and condemned for months. Sustainability. It's all about how are you able to sustain and weather the virus. The Swedish model is now the model for the rest of the world. Keep the schools open. Protect the elderly. Try out hydroxychloroquine. Keep your restaurants open. Have your young people get herd immunity. Prioritize the sick. And then you're able to safely reopen. There's a lot happening in the news. We here at the Charlie Kirk Show are tracking it closely. We don't know what's going to happen with Joe Biden. But we do know that if this keeps up, by the end of August, if we keep on getting positive data around the Chinese coronavirus as far as cases, hospitalizations, and deaths, Donald Trump's popularity will surge and Joe Biden will be in a very precarious position. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please consider supporting our program at going to charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And for the first 10 people that type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button and give us a 5-star review. We will send you a signed copy of the New York Times bestseller, MAGA Doctrine. Thank you guys so much for listening. Stay tuned for more. God bless.